Thanks, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Saturday, January 9th, 2016. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Kip Stube. Here are our top stories this evening. Divisions in political parties are worrying Zimbabweans who say they don't see any end to the country's current social, economic and political problems.
The opposition is not organized. The opposition is in disarray. The MDC, we have MDC, T, MDC, several MDC.
Rural Zimbabweans come out with possible solutions of addressing the current dry spell.
What we are doing currently are activities that we call community dialogue meetings, whereby we bring together general members of the community and the leadership to discuss pertinent issues that are obtaining in their communities. They discuss issues pertaining to service delivery. We have been holding meetings that are centered on the drought that is prevailing the communities.
And as usual, we'll take a closer look at women's issues. Stay tuned. The divisions in the opposition groups as well as the ruling party have many Zimbabweans wondering who can effectively address the problems bedeviling the country. The year 2016 entered with a pending food crisis and threats by several government workers to strike if salary delays continue and promises of bonuses broken. Reporter Ndimiyaki Makelele sought perspectives from chair of the ZANU-PF UK branch, Nick Mangwana, who says his party is committed to turning the economy around in 2016, and director Pesitsai Ruhanya of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institute. Ruhanya says disarray in the opposition leaves only the ruling party now to attend the country's problems.
I don't think that the failures of ZANU necessarily means that the opposition will gain. ZANU can fail as it is failing. ZANU can be tear apart as it is happening. But the current state of the opposition, as we understand it, is very sad, is crazy. ZANU can be torn apart, they can run into factions. But I can say that the faction in ZANU, given the conflict between party and state, how the world has said through the media, they can still win the election because the opposition is not organized. The opposition is in disarray. The MDC, we have MDC, T, MDC, several MDC, unless they get organized. Even look at ZANU and ZAPU in the 80s. There was a time when they formed the Patriotic Front to confront the common enemy in Rhodesia, and they won independence. And these guys, to be frank, if they continue in their disorganizing manner, in their mediocrity, state as it is, ZANU can be torn apart, they can differ, but they can still win the election because of the problems of the opposition. The opposition is in disarray and it's sad.
So, Mr. Mangwana, in light of that reality, the opposition is in disarray, clearly granted. So what hope can you give for 2016 for Zimbabweans?
The only message I have to say is there's a party we have to deliver. There is no question about that. We owe it to the people of Zimbabwe. We have to deliver good outcomes for our people. We have to focus not on our on power games. We actually have to focus on delivering good economics to our people. That, as a party, is a rallying call that we all, any well-meaning Zimbabwean should make. Whatever machinations and shenanigans are going, some of these are just secondary fires we are lighting. We need to focus on making sure our people have got a good livelihoods. This year there's gonna be a very, very devastating drought. We need everybody focused on making sure that not even a single person would starve and not even a single person will go hungry. We have to make sure that the jobs that are there are retained and more are created. If people have got a single-mindedness and togetherness of focusing on those particular goals, we'll achieve everything that we need, and 2016 can be better. But these are caveats, obviously, to what we need. We need everybody to pull together.
Thank you so much, Mr. Mangwana. Thank you so much, Mr. Mangwana. Okay. Dr. Ruhanya, you have a final word?
Yeah, just to say that people are already starving. I don't know why he's saying that we will not have anyone starving. People are starving. People have no food. We already have a drought. I think that they've told him from Harare that the country has a huge food deficit. But the problem we have as a country is that we have the problem of the will to power versus the will to transformation. Everything that is happening here is about grabbing, is about capturing power, but transforming our institutions, transforming our economy, transforming our democratic culture is not part of the discourse, not only in ZANU, but also even in the opposition. But the biggest problem also we have related to that is the lack of leadership in ZANU and the political opposition. President Mugabe is saying in 92 in 7 weeks' time, surely you cannot have international or domestic economic confidence in a 92-year-old to be deals with a 92-year-old.
That was Petsai Ruhanya, who is the director of the Zimbabwe Democracy Institution. You also heard from ZANU-PF UK Chairman Nick Mangwana speaking with us from London. Both spoke with the Studio 7's Ndimiyake Makelele. Ruhanya's views are echoed by former Finance Minister Tendai Biti, who says the future looks bleak for Zimbabweans.
2016 is going to be terrible. I said at the end of last year that the growth rate for 2015 was -1.8%. And contrary to Chinamasa's prediction that the economy will grow by 2.7%, I have no doubt that in real terms, our growth rate this year will be -3.5%. We are in a deep structural recession. And when you are in a deep structural recession, there's deflation, which is occurring. The price is actually reducing, which doesn't happen in a low economy. There is in a normal economy. There is no aggregate demand at all. Shops are full of goods, but no one is buying them. If you look at the retail figures, this was the worst Christmas since 1953. People did not spend. To compound matters further, government revenues are falling. The chickens have now come home to roost because government is no longer capable of paying salaries. Pensioners were last paid in November, but only for October salaries. So they've gone for 2 months without being paid. Civil servants, there are some who are still have not been paid, even up to now, as I'm talking to you, particularly those who work in grant-aided institutions. Bonuses have not been paid. So this is a year of the gnashing of teeth. ZANU-PF will learn one thing in 2016, that you can rig the elections. You can kill the likes of Itai Dzamara. You can put some of us in prison, but you can't put the economy in prison. And they should just do the right thing and resign quietly.
Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa also told the nation in April last year that Zimbabwe has agreed a deal with international financial institutions to settle its arrears by April this year. Is this feasible?
That's a joke. That's a joke. My favorite cartoon, which I watch with my son, is SpongeBob SquarePants. SpongeBob SquarePants can do a better job than what Patrick Chinamasa is doing. Zimbabwe needs debt relief because the current debt is unsustainable. But a debt relief program requires honesty, requires diligence, requires integrity, and requires excellence in execution.
That was Tendai Biti, former finance minister and current president of the Opposition People's Democratic Party, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America, VOA.
Some Zimbabweans in rural areas are coming out with some ideas of tackling the current dry spell, claiming the lives of hundreds of livestock. We spoke to Vumani Ndlovu, coordinator of the Rural Communities Empowerment Trust, who says people have various ways of solving their own problems without a lot of outside interference.
What we are doing currently are activities that we call community dialogue meetings, whereby we bring together general members of the community and the leadership to discuss pertinent issues that are obtaining in their communities. They discuss issues pertaining to service delivery. We have been holding meetings that are centered on the drought that is prevailing the communities following the poor rains for the 2014-2015 agricultural season and the 2015-2016 agricultural season. So we have observed the high animal mortality, cattle mortality, the high dropout of school children. So we have been conducting meetings that have been discussing such issues so that the communities can collectively come together and share ideas on how best they can alleviate the challenges that they are facing.
How best do you address their problems?
We simply conduct the meetings guided by the fact that if the communities can come together and share ideas, that will be one way of trying to come up to proper solutions to their challenges. We do not have material to give to the communities. We do not have food to give to them. But we address, indirectly address their concerns through conducting the meetings that afford them the opportunity to come together, share ideas. For example, we conducted some meetings in Tjoloto and Lupane, whereby the communities were able to share ideas on how best they can alleviate the high keki mortality.
So give us an example of how they are going to tackle hunger and maybe the death of the keki and stuff like that.
Well, one idea in terms of tackling the high keki mortality in their areas was that they advised or encouraged each other to sell a certain portion or a number of keki so that they can be able to buy stock feed to serve the remaining ones. Then in terms of tackling the high school dropouts of children, they came up with ideas, one of identifying the organizations or institutions or individuals that they can approach to assist them, perhaps with food, money, to buy food for the children in schools. And they also came up with the idea of making some contributions as a community, perhaps a dollar each per household, so that they can be able to buy food in schools to serve the situation that they are facing.
That was Vumani Ndlovu, coordinator of the Rural Communities Empowerment Trust, speaking with Studio 7 from Bulawayo. As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Tonight, we have the pleasure of speaking to Mrs. Loveness Mainato, who works with the Albino Charity of Zimbabwe in protecting the rights of those living with albinism. Welcome to the Women's Forum, Mrs. Mainato.
You are welcome.
Tell us about your organization. What does it offer for those living with albinism?
Albino Charity Organization of Zimbabwe is the brainchild of parents of children living with albinism, which was started in 2010 with a vision to create a self-reliant albino-free society in our country. So we help people with albinism, all age groups across the board, starting from the child at birth to the eldest grandparent, considering their vulnerability in the society.
What kind of services do you offer?
We start by offering counseling services to those who encounter the condition of albinism for the first time, because many people panic when they have a child with albinism in the family, as we see that so many relatives, they influence the parents of the child with albinism to the extent that they separate, they divorce because of the condition of the child. Many regard it as a myth. Many take it as a curse. Many say it is a result of prostitution or witchcraft. So we give counseling savings so that the marriages won't break up. They just have to take it as a condition from God, because there is nothing so bad about having a child with albinism in the family, since it is just a lack of melanin in the outer skin pigment. So we give them education, enough education, and conscientize the community that they should not frighten those who have the child in the family for the first time. So after giving counseling services to the parents and the immediate family members involved, we give them sunscreen lotions to protect them from the skin radiation, because it damages their skin. Their skin is prone to cancer. So we give them sunscreen lotions. We provide their protective clothing. We give them sunglasses. We give them long sleeve t-shirts. And we give them sunnets so that they are well protected from the heat. Then we will go on to assist those in school by providing school fees and we visit schools, constantly giving awareness campaigns that the children in school should not regard those children with albinism as outcasts. They should accept them as they are. So we give them the counseling services in schools. We also assist the youth, those who are mature. We capacity build them for sustainable livelihood.
What would you say have been some of the major challenges facing those living with albinism in the country that you'd like to see resolved in future?
In future, we would be so happy if we see that people with albinism are given equal opportunities in life so that they can live like any other citizen in the country. We also face the challenges of acquiring sunscreen lotions. Locally, they are not manufactured. If we get them in the pharmacies, they are too expensive. We are appealing to the ministries involved, like the Minister of Health, to see to it that they assist us in getting a rebate so that these sunscreen lotions are imported into the country free of charge.
Time is not on our side. Thank you very much, Mrs. Loveness Mainato of the Albino Charity of Zimbabwe, for having been our guest on the Women's Forum, a forum where we look at issues affecting women. I'm Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye.
Thanks very much, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye. And this evening, we are talking to Zimbabwean music queen Sandra Ndebele, who gave birth recently. She tells us what she has been doing before and after giving birth.
For now, I'm promoting my seventh album, Miss Angel. Working on the videos. By the end of the month, there will be a new video on the market. And also, I'm doing a song for rural schools, promoting rural schools' libraries. So, yeah, it's a busy month for me and trying to juggle with taking care of the baby because I'm breastfeeding.
Tell us a bit about Izenzo.
Izenzo is a 10-track album. I worked with Teddy Bears from South Africa. I worked with James Marawini. I worked with Jack Razor. I worked with Nesh. I worked with Tandega. So as soon as the album came out, that's when I realized I was pregnant. So I didn't promote the album. I was doing a country tour, regional tour, promoting Izenzo, and I'm doing videos for all the songs. So every month there will be a new video coming out.
So Izenzo, what are you actually talking about here?
Things that are happening, you know, there is a lot that's happening. There's no rain, people are suffering, girls are selling this and that to get money. Wives are leaving their husbands are leaving their wives. Due to silly things, if you ask them really what happened, then you realize they are only fighting over silly things. So those are the things that are happening in general that I'm talking about on Izenzo.
Just sing a little bit, Sandra. I know you are very good at that.
Which one? Love Yem Shona or Izenzo?
Izenzo.
The album title says, Izenzo. Yeah.
Some more?
Okay. Then, in the Yamineyako, then Karim Karanga, those are the songs around the album. Maybe if I, let me sing Love Yem Shona.
Go ahead.
Weba wagazi, nyalitanda leli shona. Weba wagazi, ngelisanda lelishona anlali ngalo liyezukuzolobol anlali ngalo liyezukuzolobol luthando lesinyi muthi apheza kathesi uno Dauno daire, msikana mundevele, anondi dazere, kusike ndi chembere, ande chisikana, zime zinozo uya, ande chisikana, zime zinotera. But it's on iTunes, you can buy it on iTunes, already it's on the market.
Yeah, so what are these last two songs all about?
Celebrating intermarriage is something that's not been celebrated.
That was Zimbabwe music queen Sandra Ndebele speaking with Studio 7. And now to recap today's top stories. Divisions in political parties are worrying Zimbabweans who say they don't see any end to the country's current social, economic and political problems. And rural Zimbabweans come up with solutions of addressing the current rice belt. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Gande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C. Good night, Zimbabwe.